The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Bernie Siegel and his family and friends. I want this to be the best year ever for all our friends worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber, and even a fan, by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Ever, indeed. Bye. folks, today it is such a privilege and a pleasure to have with us Dr. Bernard Siegel, or Bernie, as he prefers to be called. He truly needs no introduction. He has touched many lives all over the world. In 1978, he reached a national and then international audience when he began talking about patient empowerment and the choice to live fully and die in peace. As a physician who has cared for and counseled innumerable people whose mortality had been threatened by illness, Bernie embraces a philosophy of living and dying that stands at the forefront of the medical ethics and spiritual issues our society grapples with even today. In May 2011, Bernie was honored by the Watkins Review of London, England, as one of the top 20 spiritually influential living people on the planet. He continues to break new ground in the field of healing, supporting changes in medical education to humanize medical practice. Today, we will focus on peace, love, and healing. One of Dr. Siegel's extraordinary books, and I must say, all his books are extraordinary. All his books are very well worth reading. Without further ado, I bring to you one of my favorite doctors ever, Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Thank you very much. I could get spoiled listening to these wonderful introductions. But, what's interesting, two thoughts pop into my head, because you talk about the coaching you do, and people need to understand. I love the term life coach, that coaches don't belittle you. They improve you through criticism. The Sufi poet Rumi said, criticism polishes your mirror, because in those days, mirrors were polished metal. And people need to understand that. You know, if a parent says to you, you're a mess, you're a failure, you embarrass us, that's not criticism. But if they said, what you're doing is dangerous, it's improper, let me show you a better way of doing something, then they're improving you. And that's what coaching does. And the other term that I came up with after reading an article, they talk about being a lover, and then they talk about being a warrior. And my feeling at the end of the article was, why can't you be a love warrior? That use love as your weapon. It drives people crazy. And I mean this literally. When somebody's screaming at you, I get a kick out of it. If you pull into a parking space, in a shopping mall, and somebody else is thinking of using it, and you pull in, and they start screaming at you, no, that's my thing. I just lower my window and say, I love you. And invariably, they leave and don't know what to do, and then try to avoid me, if we're in the same store shopping. And I just get a kick out of it. And, those things don't happen often now, because I'm more likely to let the other person pull in and have a nice talk with them, lower our windows, and just have a different relationship and walk away feeling a lot better. Once I start telling, I keep thinking of things that really happened to me. This was in a parking lot. I got out of my car, and a woman started coming towards me out of a car, screaming at me. I have no idea what was going on. And she walked up to me, and I said to her, I don't know what's happening in your life, but I want you to know I love you. And she turned around, quieted down, went and got back in the car and drove away. And a man came over to me and said, my God, he said, I didn't know what she was going to do to you. I was going to knock her flat so she wouldn't hurt you. And then you said that. Thank you. But, I don't know what she was, a drug addict. I have no idea. But it's just amazing to me, and I can tell these stories forever. A teenager is driving a car behind me, screaming obscenities because he didn't like the traffic. It was summer on Cape Cod. And I said to a police officer as we drove by, I said, can you ask him to be quiet? And the cop said, that's not my job. So the next time we got stuck because of the traffic, I got out of the car with our kids yelling, he could have a gun. What are you doing? I went over to him and his window was down. And I said to him, I want you to know I love you. I'm sorry that your parents don't. And I turned back in my car. And what did he do? He made a U-turn and drove away. Now, you know, on one hand, I was thinking I could have left off the second part. But on the other hand, I think that was one of the most important things I ever said to him. Because my hope is, as he drove off, he realized, wow, he just explained why I am the way I am, why I'm so angry and resentful and bitter and cursing. And, you know, it's how I'm being treated. And maybe he would then make a change. Because I also know teenagers who, when I said, who called me and said, I'm going to commit suicide. He's sexually abused, had AIDS. I was trying to help him survive. And he said, I'm going to commit suicide. And he called me to thank me for all I had done for him. And I said, why don't we get a gun and kill your parents? I know people in New York. I can help you get a gun. And he said, no, I never want to be like them. And that impressed the hell out of me. I never want to be like them. How many people in the world say that rather than think of all the headlines we read? Revenge, go into schools, go into businesses, and kill people instead of saying, I don't want to be like them. And I may add my belief in angels. The boy's name is Tony. He went down to the subway to jump in front of a subway train. That's what he was going to do. And I got a call a few hours later. And I said, what happened? He said, no train came. He's standing in the subway waiting to get his suicide. And the goddamn train doesn't show up. So he saw the suicide prevention number on the wall in the station. And he called it. And they came and rescued him. And it changed his life. You know, they came and showed him that somebody loved him and took care of him.
That's an amazing story. Everything happens for a reason, and there are no coincidences. It was meant to be that his life would be spared.
Yeah, the thing I've learned, because Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was a friend years ago, and she was always with her Swiss accent, Borny, there are no coincidences. And, you know, that was hard for me to believe then. Now I started calling myself a Jungian surgeon because of the way I treated people in the hospital and the operating room and everywhere, you know, from reading Carl Jung and Elizabeth. But you see, when you make the right choices, and let me put it this way, because one of the books we have out is entitled A Book of Miracles. It's wonderful stories from people about everything, not health oriented, but just, you know, the coincidences that happened in their life. But as people sent all these stories in and I read them, I thought the common theme is that they all chose life. And what I mean by that is the biblical message, I place before you life and death, good and evil, choose life. And that the life choice is about life as an life-enhancing action. It's not me saying, okay, what's good for me today? It's what is good for everyone today? What action can I take that everybody will benefit from? And when people made those kinds of choices, then the wonderful coincidences happened. Sometimes it was life-saving. Other times your car got fixed or Christmas presents were in your shoes that you put out in the hallway when your parents didn't even know you had done it and they didn't know why your shoes were filled with gifts when they opened the door. They expected to have a very disappointed child that no Santa Claus would be there and her shoes were filled. Because they had these are people in the United States who went to the Netherlands and learned about this, you know, behavior on Christmas, not under the tree, but in your shoes in the hallway. And, you know, so those things all happened to these people. But it's when, again, they were open and loving and choosing life and not being selfish and self-centered.
I just want to say, take a moment out here to say that we have several people that called into the show that, you know, want to talk to you probably. But those of you that are on the board anonymously, I never go to an anonymous phone call. So if you want to make a comment or ask a question of Dr. Siegel, just know if you're an anonymous number, I won't be calling on you. Just wanted to give you guys a head up.
To tell you, wait a minute, you know, because
go ahead.
Also laughter. because I love writing things and putting down as the person who wrote them, Anonymous, Anonymous. Or there's also, you also often see the term author unknown, but I write Arthur, Arthur, unknown. So, you know, there's that kid in me that plays with all those things. And I would say to people also, don't let the kid in you die. Besides the love, when somebody says sign here, write here on the paper, you see, and watch what their reaction is. And I have a list. Oh, the other I love is wet floor. Whenever I speak to kids in grade school, I say, do you ever have a sign in your hallway that says wet floor? Yes. Have you ever done it? And their eyes light up, and the teachers want to kill me. You know, I say, well, next time you see the sign, wet the floor.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just, you know, as I said, it's that kid in me. You know, I always say, depressed drains. I go over and cheer up the drain. But it's just, if you see the sign, react to it as if you're a child, and you'll find yourself smiling through the day.
I never realized you had such an incredible sense of humor, because what you write about is so profound and so serious. Now I have to read between the lines a bit more, because you are indeed very, very funny.
Yeah, I always felt that, and something I do talk about, I said, you can build your life out of the bricks of love, but the mortar that holds them together is the laughter, a sense of humor. Because truly, you can't be afraid when you're laughing. I mean, I had a lady in the operating room who was in a total panic over the surgery. And I spent 45 minutes, you know, intelligently talking to her in the hallway and explaining everything. And it didn't accomplish anything. She was still a wreck. And I said to her, we have to get going. You know, I can't stand here anymore talking. So I wheeled her into the operating room, and she sits up on the stretcher that we wheel her in on and says, thank God, all these wonderful people are going to take care of me. And I thought, if I agree with her, what have I done? Nothing. You know, she's saying that because of her own panic. So I said to her, loud enough for all the nurses and anesthesiologists and others in the operating room to hear me, I said, look, I've worked with these people for years. I know them. They are not wonderful people. Well, for a minute, I thought she was going to run down the hallway. But then she burst out laughing, because everybody else in the operating room knows Crazy Siegel, you know, the kid in me. And so we're all laughing. And in that moment, a family was created, if you know what I mean. We
yes.
all became family. And it just was so wonderful. Then she relaxed, knew that everybody cared, and we just proceeded, and everything went beautifully. And I think that's the part for people to understand, that humor makes you a family. And as I say, you can't be afraid when you're laughing. And it also adds to survival, because in one study that was done, they took a group of cancer patients, told them to laugh for no reason every few hours. And then they had the control group who were told, you know, if something funny happens, obviously laugh, but otherwise just behave normally. The group who laughed every few hours for no reason had a better survival statistics a few years later. And again, it's the chemistry of laughter. It's changing you. And I say to anybody listening to this, you know, tomorrow morning or today if you want, when you get up, laugh for no reason and watch how you feel. And if you do it with people around you, you'll find them all chuckling, even though they don't know what the hell you're laughing at. I mean, it's like contagious, and everybody feels better. And I practice all these things before I recommend them to people. I mean, I have to say that.
How's that?
See what it means. Yeah. And so I tend to do it when I'm walking the dogs, because then people don't think I'm crazy, if you know what I mean. Then they think, oh, he saw something funny. That's why he's laughing. But I know I feel better if I do that and think about things that I'm grateful for, too. And you feel better because you're changing yourself literally, physically, than if, oh, what's going to happen today? Am I going to be late? What are they going to think of me? It's a mess. And if you're out there to give love to the world, okay. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You can say, I'm sorry. But if you're out there to give something, then you don't have to worry about what does everybody think of me. I used to have, when I was practicing, a lot of actors come when they were diagnosed with cancer to talk to me. And one of the things I would always say to them is, you get on the stage, and when the performance is over, nobody applauds. How do you feel? And some would say, oh, it's terrible. I mean, I want them to say, then get off the stage while you're dealing with your disease. And others would say, hey, I'm there to give something to them. If they don't like it or don't appreciate it, okay, I'm just doing my best and giving what I can. I say, okay, then you can keep, you know, performing and acting. And I'd say to everybody the same thing. If you go out in the world and need everybody to love you and like you and say you're wonderful, then you don't love yourself enough because you're looking for something. But if you can walk out the door and just say, I'm out there to give to the world, and if it doesn't work, I'm sorry. And I had to learn that too, standing on a stage, lecturing, speaking, helping. Yeah, I wanted everybody to feel better, but I learned there were people who come up and say, I heard you before, you keep saying the same thing, it's boring. And then the next person says, thank you, you're so inspiring. And I realized it isn't me, it's the person, what's in them.
Yes.
And I'd say, you want to know yourself, know your reaction to the world. If you think the world is a wonderful place, you're a wonderful person. And if it's a terrible place with bitter, resentful, you know, selfish people, think about that as a description of yourself.
Dr. Siegel, you emphasize self-healing, and you say the importance of which is too often overlooked. You want to talk a bit about that? Modern medicine and self-healing need not be and should not be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, one of the things, there was just a recent TV show with several hours for 3 days, you know, every night about cancer. And it had a lot of wonderful stuff about the science and how we're making advances and changing things and, you know, trying to save people's lives. But not one program was on the ability of people to get well without medicine and what we can learn from them. They used the term spontaneous regression, I think, once in 3 nights. And see, that's a problem with medicine. You get well when you're not supposed to. You have a spontaneous remission or regression. What do you learn from it? Nothing. If your neighbor said, I had a spontaneous thing happen, you don't say, well, gee, how can I make it happen? You know, it was spontaneous. But Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, said it so beautifully. He lived the experience. And I've had doctors, when they or their family members develop cancer, then call me and write me to say, thank you. We used to think you're crazy. Now you're a big help. Because, see, now they're natives. They're not tourists anymore. But Solzhenitsyn discusses, one of the men comes into the cancer ward with a book in his hands and says, look, I found this in the medical library. It says here there are cases of self-induced healing, not recovery through treatment, but actual healing, see? And it was as though self-induced healing fluttered out of the great open book like a rainbow-colored butterfly, and they all held up their foreheads and cheeks for its healing touch as it flew past. Boy, when I read that, it was like I would give Solzhenitsyn a hug because we agree with each other. See, self-induced. And why a rainbow butterfly? The rainbow is your life in order, and I mean that literally, that every color has meaning in it. And the butterfly is a symbol of transformation. So how do you affect your own health? You learn you're going to die in a couple of months. Okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to quit my law practice and play my violin. I'm going to Colorado to die in the mountains. I'm buying a house on the ocean. I got a dog and put it in a backyard wildlife habitat. These are quotes from people. Okay, I don't make up any of these stories. Now, none of those people went home and died in 2 months that their doctors predicted. Now, the sad part is, one attorney who said, see, no coincidence. I was getting my car fixed. I was told I have a 5% chance of living 2 years. But while my car was being fixed, I went into a used bookstore. I found your book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. I changed my life. My cancer has disappeared. My doctor said I was doing very well. I said, you want to know what I'm doing? He said, no. That's the tragic part. The doctor should have said, which I used to say to people all the time when I started doing this work, why didn't you die when you were supposed to? And these were people sitting in the audience I thought were dead. I always remember there was one gentleman, a landscaper, who had extensive cancer of the stomach. And when I told him I couldn't cure him and he needed more treatment, he said, you forgot something. It's springtime. I'm going to go home and make the world beautiful, so when I die, I'll leave a beautiful world. 6 years later, the nurse handed me his chart in the office. And I said, he's dead. Why are you handing me this chart? We have two people, obviously, with the same name. She said, open the door.
Wow.
I know. The nurses know me. So I opened the door, and there sat John saying, I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. And he became my teacher. I mean that literally. I used to spend a lot of time with him walking in the woods and seeing how beautiful the world was. And he lived to 94, by the way. Once his wife died, he just went to join her. But you see, again, what do we have to learn from him? He never retired. So his life always had meaning. You know, Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. And it's about how people feel and what that does to them. So again, I'd say accept the fact that you're mortal. Not to depress you, but to make you use your time in a meaningful way. You know, just like this program. I never stop talking, and a lot of times at the end, the person interviewing me says, Bernie, we're running out of time. And my response is, we're all going to run out of time someday. Enjoy your lifetime. And that's what we need to do. You know, when you're looking forward. Well, there was an article in the paper the other day, see, which is no different than what I learned from survivor behavior. I mean, there are personality qualities and characteristics. I can list them. But the paper said, you want to live to be 100. What do you do? You have a sense of purpose in your life. You're active. It said, you don't have to go to the gym. Just, you know, be active. Do things. A reasonable diet and a clan. They're talking about relationships. So have relationships in your life. Don't, you know, abuse your body, but eat healthily, be active, and have a sense of purpose. And then you're more likely to make it to 100. And people keep writing books every 10 or 15 years about all these communities where people live to be 100. And it's the same patterns in all of them. It's not just your genes. See, another study, the more I talk, the more I keep thinking about the research that's been done and why I'm not called, you know, crazy anymore like I was 30 years ago talking this way. The study was to create three groups of people. One got lectures on meditation and lifestyle for 6 hours. And then, you know, home they went. The second group got the lectures and 3 months of group meetings to help them practice these things. And the third group got all the lectures and 6 months of group meetings and meditation and, you know, instruction and so forth. What they were studying were the telomeres. These are structures at the end of the chromosomes which shorten each time a cell divides. So the older you get, the shorter your telomeres. But what did they show? It's a reversible process. The group that met for 6 months, had their lectures, practiced meditation and lifestyle changes, had longer telomeres than they did 6 months before, you see. And the others didn't grow in that same way. The first group, I think, got shorter. So again, our lifestyle, our choices affect us and our health. And again, it's not about blame, because that was another thing I heard from doctors. You're asking your patients what's going on in their life, so you're blaming them for getting sick. No, I'm not. See, the poets, novelists, people, musicians, people who I mean songwriters when I say musicians, but it's the people who view the world and write about it share these things. They see them happening. In a poem by W.H. Auden called Miss G, he writes, I mean, this is a doctor who is speaking in the poem, but his wife talks to him, and he tells her about a lady he examined that morning who had cancer. And then he says, because she was a very lonely woman with no family, childless women get it, and men when they retire, it's as if there had to be an outlet for their foiled creative fire. Now, if you go back and look at therapy books written in the 1930s, that's not an uncommon statement. Cancer is growth gone wrong, a message to take a new road in your life. See? Now, I don't know if people get upset if you said that to them today, but that's why I would ask people, what's going on in your life? It could be death of a loved one. I was fired. I was this. I was that. See, a statement I came across, doctors are trained to treat the result and not the cause. That's a powerful statement. So you see ads in major medical journals. As a matter of fact, most of the pages in medical journals are ads for drugs. I'm depressed, unable to cope. I went to see my physician. He prescribed an antidepressant. I feel better now. I wrote to the company and the journal, and I said, don't you think you ought to have another sentence in there that says, what's happening in your life? Why are you depressed? Not just, here's a pill, goodbye. You're not treating a human being. I always say that medicine can turn people into a structure, like a house. So the electrician doesn't come in and fix your plumbing, too. And we can't treat people that way. People are a unit, an entity, so to speak. They don't have, you know, pipes and wires and windows and roofs that leak. You're a whole entity. Psyche and soma are a unit. Conscious and unconscious are a unit. And that's why I got so into dreams and drawings and everything else, because the body can speak in a dream, and I mean that literally, can tell you you have a problem that you need to check on in a dream, and I can tell you some if you want. And again, your unconscious speaks to you in a dream and presents you with the wisdom. So it can be, who should I marry? What chemotherapy is best for me? Should I have surgery? And I say to people, draw yourself getting your treatment. Draw yourself in the operating room. Draw yourself with, you know, the jobs you think you may want to take. And we'll help you find the best one, because the wisdom is there. But when there's conflict between the two, you know, when your head takes over, well, I think I better do this. I'll make more money there. I don't impress people more. But it isn't really what your intuitive unconscious wants for you as the best. You'll not be a happy person. And if it's a medical treatment, you'll have more side effects.
Excuse me, let me interrupt for just a second, because you are a bottomless well of information, of wisdom. You have so much. We could do a show for about 10 hours straight. But I just want to say I'm not a surgeon, but I do have my take on what will make for a better life and a happier life and a healthier life, and that is to listen to this show every day and hear from our health guru, Beverly Nadler, are some reasons why.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask you to partner up with us in having that happen. Please go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left side of the homepage, it says follow. So please click on that, and you will know about all our shows, all our guests, all our topics. You'll know when Dr. Bernie Siegel comes back to be with us again. You'll know all about shows that really are impactful. And lo and behold, we have our health guru right here, right now, Beverly Nadler, who thinks the world of you, mentions you on very often on her shows. Go ahead, Beverly. You're on with Dr. Siegel.
Well, hello, Bernie.
Hi. You know,
it's
a pleasure to
talk to you again. I was on the last show that you were on with Joyce.
All right.
Of course, we met years ago at the Parker Chiropractic Foundation.
Oh, yeah. He was a wonderful fella. You know, the thing...
Yeah, and it was a wonderful program. And it was so wonderful to see a medical doctor that was so much involved in the body, mind, and spirit. And I told you when I wrote to you last how much I enjoyed your book, the first one that you had written, which is was an inspiration to me when I was recovering from cancer. So I just wanted to pop on and say hello and tell you how much I appreciate you and listen to you because you are truly an inspiration.
Thank you. You know, a word I like when you see a chiropractor, they talk about making adjustments. And I love that aspect, you know, that if doctors thought about making adjustments and helping people to live with their experience, not just what's your diagnosis, okay, here's what you do. That doesn't change the person. And the other is, I always say to look for common themes, because I was thinking about that as you were talking, that what you're presenting to people isn't something unique in a sense. It's something that's ages old. And what I look for are common themes. In other words, if I saw something in the Bible, something from a chiropractor, something in a philosophy book that tells you how to live and how to help yourself, I'd say, hey, this must work. Look, all these people are saying it. And so, again, I think part of why we have so many books written all the time are people have a tragedy and then learn the universal messages from the tragedy about healing and life, and so they think, oh, I better write a book. I mean, let me say this, because I went through this in a sense. I began writing articles thinking I was discovering incredible things. When I sent them to medical journals, they were sent back saying it's interesting, but it's not appropriate for a medical journal. See, it was about, you know, people and feelings and drawings. And so I sent them to psychology and psychiatry journals, and they sent them back too. But this time it said, yes, it's appropriate, but it's not interesting. We know this. That's the craziness of medicine, that we have chopped it up into specialties so we don't know about people. We know about an organ and a disease, not about a human being.
Well, that's it.
I want to just thank Beverly for jumping on. And Beverly, just let them know about your show tomorrow. Beverly has our Here's to Your Health Thursday segments. She's the only one that has a weekly segment. So I want to just let folks know what the show focuses on tomorrow.
We're going to be talking about the power of forgiveness, how important that is. I'm sure Bernie agrees with that, but that's what the show is about. And, you know, many people say, yes, I want to forgive, but I can't. Well, I think we'll give you enough reasons that you'll be able to look internally and find a way that you can forgive. Because it's not only important to the person, it's important to you to heal.
I always say, if you want to give yourself a gift, forgive. If you want to... You think you want to get something, forgetting doesn't work. Forgiving is what works.
Thank you, Beverly.
Said.
Look forward to your show tomorrow. There's a lot of people who want to say something to you, Dr. Siegel, before we continue. So thank you. We all need to listen to that show, The Power of Forgiveness, with Beverly Nadler tomorrow. Next, we have another big fan of yours, and that's our friend, Psychic Peter Marks. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Joyce. How are you? Dr. Siegel, it is a pleasure to connect and to be able to talk with you. I did want to tell you that I have a practice as a psychic and as a healer, and your name is always brought up at one time during the reading. And I tell people how wonderful your books are, and I loved the Love, Medicine, and Miracles, as well as Peace, Love, and Healing. And I wanted to find out from you, I know medical schools are changing their teaching practices. Do you feel that we could learn more from European medicine than the way we teach doctors in this country?
I don't know that I'd say it exclusively just European, but I think that it's, again, when it's a community caring for each other. See, because here in the United States, Montana has a better survival rate for cancer than the national average. You'd say, why? There are 500 plus thousand people in Montana. So everybody's your family. You know what I mean? Your car breaks down in Montana, everybody stops to help you. But if your car breaks down, as mine has in New York City, even the police didn't stop. They waved at me, said, we'll send somebody. You know, you got a car full of kids. You think they'd stop and say, is everything all right? But that's the part I learned as I began to lecture around the country and around the world, that you couldn't say the same thing to everybody because you had to know the people. And let me, again, my crazy sense of humor. When I would do things for New York Open Center in Manhattan, it's a two-day workshop, see, with Bernie Siegel. I'd get up on the stage and I'd say, New Yorkers are terrible people. You're insensitive, uncaring. You don't pay attention. And I went on and on. And after a few minutes, a hand goes up. Yes, we paid to come here, and all you're doing is insulting us. I said, now that I've gotten through to you, we'll begin the workshop, you see. And then they all laughed because I wanted to show them that they're capable of sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes being insulted. Now, if I did that in Maine or Montana, you know, they'd all be crying in 2 minutes. Why are you treating us this way? But New Yorkers sit and listen. And that's, again, what I would try to do and focus it, you know, on the type of personality and community that I was in. And let me add this, because it's what made me a believer in psychic reality are two things. And then I'll tell you my personal experience, which is even more mind-blowing, was that one of my patients finally came in one day and said, I'm a psychic, and now that I know you're not a normal doctor, I asked for a message for you. And she said, I have a message for you from Frank. Now, Frank was a doctor friend who had recently died and been a member of our support group. She said, Frank said, if I'd known it was this easy, I'd have bought the package a long time ago and not have resisted so much. I called up his wife and I said, I have a message from Frank. Do you want to hear it? Because I didn't want to upset her. She said, yes, go ahead. If I'd known it was this easy, I'd have bought the package a long time ago and not, and I hear her shriek. I said, what are you shrieking? Am I upsetting you? She said, no. Every time we'd walk out of your meeting, Frank would say, I can't buy the package. See? And this Monica's her name, this mystic friend. I mean, she calls me at times. My parents died years ago. Hey, Bernie, your parents are together again. Now, Monica doesn't know them, doesn't live near them. And she told me they're up in heaven, proud of me and being shown around by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Now, that is just amazing stuff, you know, because Monica, again, doesn't know me and my connections. But what really impressed me the most was doing a meditation with Dr. Carl Simonton. He was running it, a group, and he said, we're going to do a meditation, take a walk, meet a guide. And I thought, this is nuts. I came here to learn something about how to help cancer patients, not all this craziness. And so I sat there with my eyes open, watching him on the stage. But when he looked at me, I thought, oh, I don't want him to know I'm not doing it. So I closed my eyes. I'm an artist, a painter, and very visual. So I was amazed. All these pictures started happening to me. And I'm walking on a pass, and I meet a man, and I said, what's your name? He said, my name is George. And he had on robes and a funny little flat hat on his head and, you know, and a big beard, and we talked, and okay. So I met George. I was looking for Jesus or Moses, you know, somebody I would be impressed with as a doctor. But anyway, a year or so later, I'm lecturing in a spiritual place called Mercy Center. And I realized I wasn't giving the talk. I mean, all my notes were in front of me. I had outlines. And I wasn't saying any of it. I was just talking. So I stopped trying to, you know, follow my outline and just let it flow. First person came up to me after my lecture, said, I've heard you before. That was better than usual. And I said, I agree with you. But the second person said, standing in front of you for the entire lecture was a man. I drew his picture for you. And it was George. I mean, and I said, he's not a normal looking guy. You know, she drew the beard and his outfit and everything. And then a few years go by and I'm speaking in the same building at a funeral on a Sunday. A friend of mine had died. And a healer named Al Gawarl also knew him, and she was there. After the funeral, I'm standing in the hallway all by myself. The funeral had left, and Alga came over to me and said, Bernie, you Jewish? I said, why are you asking that question? Because I just spoke at a Christian funeral? She said, no, there's a rabbi standing next to you. And she described George again. And that's when I understood his outfit, you know, why he had that little cap on his head, and his outfit and everything else, because he's dressed the way we were dressed a couple of hundred years ago in terms of the various religious symbols and garments that he had on. And I can tell you that I hear voices, and I mean that literally, talking to me. I don't mean all day long, but I mean there are certain times when meaningful events are happening and I will hear a voice like, how did your parents meet the day my father was going to die? I said, I don't know, to the voice. And I was told, ask your mother when you get to the hospital. And I did. I walked in, said, how did you two meet? And my mother started telling funny stories because my father lost a toin course and had to take her out. That's how they met. And my father died laughing, looking wonderful, all because of that simple question, how did you two meet? It was an incredible day.
That's an incredible story, and I want to thank Psychic Peter Marks for calling in today. He was our guest yesterday. We had hundreds of people calling in that had questions and concerns, and he did an extraordinary job. I've never, ever seen heard a psychic as in-depth and as an extraordinary as Peter Marks, and he gave us the exclusive on radio. Peter is world-renowned. He deals with celebrities all over the world, but we have the exclusive. So if you want to hear Peter Marks, Psychic Peter Marks, again, become a follower so you'll know when he's on. Every month, Peter blesses us with his presence on the show, and you can only hear it on Joyce Barry and Friends. Thank you, Peter Marks.
Thank you, and thank you so much for your wisdom, and please keep on writing.
All right. And I would say to everybody listening to this, live by your experience, not your beliefs. Because the way I started, you know, I might have met Peter and said, oh, that's crazy, a mystic. But I have an open mind. So if I experience something, I believe it. I may not be able to explain it. I always say the universe is here. Why Einstein believed in miracles? Because he can't explain everything and neither can any of us. But we're all here. So consciousness does not end when the body does. That I know, too.
Hold that thought, because as we're running low on time, there are people that have been wanting to talk to you. So let let them do a quick shout out. This
Be
I never
quiet
do,
for a minute.
But I'm inclined to today. Anonymous, what's your name? Where are you calling from? You've been with us since the beginning, and you wanted to ask something. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Is it me?
Well, it's anonymous, so whoever me is, who are you?
This is Denise Nadler. Also,
I announced a few times, please, you know, make sure your number comes through, because certainly, Dr. Denise Nadler, I would have put you on. I had no idea, and I never go to anonymous, but I kept getting this voice telling me to pick up this line. Go ahead,
no
please.
Coincidence. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, I called in as I wanted to hear the show. My mother told me that you would be on today, Dr. Siegel, and I love listening to you. I already have a wonderful page of notes that you were talking about. There's so many things you were talking about today, but I just wanted to say that when I was in chiropractic college, I had the opportunity to hear you at a Parker seminar, and I've met you several times, actually, at those seminars. When a picture of you and I together hangs on my office wall, actually. And so you've influenced my life for sure. Dr. Parker was a great influence for me, but knowing that there was somebody in the medical world, I grew up on chiropractic principles that we heal from above down, inside out, and that we're not just a body, we're a mind, and it's all connected. And to hear a medical physician talking about love, medicine, and miracles impacted me so tremendously, and I just love the fact that, you know, you're continuing with your message and your mission. And when you talked about how the medical journals rejected your writings, and you know, I understand to keep going in face of that. You know, the chiropractic profession, we've been the underdogs of, to a certain degree,
yeah.
But you know, we've professed that we do have an inner healer within, and I think over the years I've had the opportunity to at least see that more and more people are aware of that. And you just made a statement that I must repeat again, because it was so impactful to me. This statement of live your experience, not your beliefs. I mean, that is so meaningful, and for people to actually understand that and take that wholly into their heart, what a difference life could be if we open up to live to just allowing for experiences to inform us instead of the beliefs that have been we've been inculcated with. So thank you so much. It's really been lovely to hear you today.
You know, when I've been to chiropractors, you see, I don't go in and, if I get better, say, well, maybe it's a placebo. I mean, I know I'm going in to see what happens, not based on I believe or don't believe. And so, yes, I've been impressed by what they've done to me, acupuncture, massage, all kinds of things. And so then I become a believer because I have lived the experience. And let me add one more simple thing I found very interesting. When people would come in and say, I have a headache, I have a backache, how would you describe the experience of cancer? See, I would ask them, what does it feel like? What's it like to have cancer? What's it like to have a backache? What does the pain feel like? And the words that came out of people were always about their life. It was amazing. Failure. My body failed. No, well, how does failure fit your life? My parents committed suicide when I was a child. That must have been a failure as a child. Pressure. Oh, yeah, my marriage. And these people, I mean, some of them were about to be admitted to the hospital for pain, and I just happened to be helping them, you know, relax, meditation, ask questions. And when I got them to focus on how the word fit their life, as one nurse said to me, she's going home, it's her marriage, you know, instead of being admitted to the hospital. She said, her pain is gone. And it's made such a difference in the words that pop out of people, the negative words. You know, I say, what else in your life fits them? You need to eliminate it. And some will say, oh, it's been a wake-up call, blessing, a new beginning, fine. You know, they don't need me. They're on the right path already.
I was fortunate to grow up in a household where my mother, at a very early age, taught me Beverly, my mom who just spoke earlier today, and my dad was a chiropractor. So fortunately, but I, you know, it's an ongoing evolution to continue to look within and discover yourself and rediscover yourself.
And have
and
the courage to do it.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Denise. And what's interesting is I had this voice the whole time pick up anonymous, because I don't pick up anonymous calls. It just kept saying, pick it up. And I even said, those of you that are anonymous, please call in with your number. You didn't know you were one of them?
I had already called in, and so I thought, okay, I'll be anonymous today,
right,
as Dr. Siegel said. And apparently, anonymous was my name for today, and you heard me calling.
Thank you. And what's funny is because Dr. Siegel said that, prompted me to call on you. So thank you. Let me get one other person because we're winding down. Thank you, Dr. Denise. Appreciate your calling in. You guys are all tremendously busy.
One other
schedule,
quick
but they didn't want to miss you. Go ahead, Dr. Siegel.
Is that if people don't grow up with love, what I found was they're afraid to do all the things we're talking about because I may fail, or God is punishing me. That's why I have a problem. And that, too, people need to understand religion, that God doesn't punish you with disease. Disease is a loss of health. And God tells you, if you lose something or you find what your neighbors lost, return it to him. So remember, when you lose your car keys, doesn't mean God wants you to walk home. And when you lose your health, it means God wants you to find it too.
Very, very good. Here we go with our loyal listener and dear friend to all of us, Janice. What would you like to share with Dr. Siegel?
Well, first of all, very inspiring. Glad that I got to hear this wonderful talk show that Joyce always shares, and all her favorites came out to listen and play. Have a great, wealth of information, and I love Psychic Peter and Denise Nadler, Dr. Denise and Beverly Nadler, and we're all on the same team. So it's a great message.
That's
live,
right.
Live, laugh, and be well.
We're all one family, the same color inside.
Absolutely. But you got to know what a tribute it is to you that Janice is on the line here, because for her, she's on West Coast time, and she's not a morning person. So that's a tribute to how special you are, Dr. Siegel.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I listened to what you said about the telomeres, and one of our lead products that we're all using and taking every day actually helps to extend the telomeres. So
right.
I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting that you brought that up. I love it.
Good.
Yes. And I just want to acknowledge in our chat room someone I've never seen before, so I wanted to extend a personal warm welcome. I'm in the chat room every day on all the shows. Cool Cat 65, welcome. Hope to see you back in the chat room, and I encourage you and urge you to become a follower of JoyceBarryAndFriends.com. Click follow on the homepage under our picture, so you need not miss Dr. Siegel, because we will invite him back again so soon. With all the people that want to talk to him, and I just gave a representative few. Dr. Siegel, as we're winding down here, what message do you want to leave our audience with?
Well, a lot of things, but I'd say let your heart make up your mind. I think about growing up with mottos to live by, and a lot of people say to me, you didn't ask us what mottos we're dying by. See, what their parents said to them. So I'll tell you what my mother and father taught me that I didn't know everybody learned. One was, do what will make you happy. That used to upset me as a kid, because if I came home with a problem and I said, Mom, what should I do? Do what will make you happy. And I'd walk away thinking, well, she doesn't want to help me. But I realized I had to pay attention to myself. Then, you see, you come back the next day, you say, Ma, I had a horrible day at school today. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. I used to go to my bedroom and talk to God as a kid. But you see, what my mother opened me up to, we just talked about no coincidences. See, something terrible would happen. But 2 weeks later, something really good would happen that wouldn't have happened if the terrible thing didn't happen. I know that sounds crazy, but it's, I began to realize you don't know the future. So don't judge the events. Let's see what happens. So God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. And my father's father died when he was a kid. He had five siblings, mother. Father died of tuberculosis, no insurance. They lived a life of hell trying to survive. And he said one day when he was being interviewed, I heard him say, oh, my father dying when I was 12 years old was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I said to him later, what the hell are you talking about? I heard stories that you used to tell about how horrible it was. He said, what I learned from it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned about life and what was important in life. And he spent a good part of his life and finances helping other people survive. Because he said to me when I wanted to go to medical school and get married, and I didn't have any money at all, and he helped me, you know. And I said, I feel guilty asking. He said, hey, if I don't want to do it, I'll say no. But he was always helping people. And one more story, so you'll understand, because this one really touched me as a kid. I was jealous of a neighbor. He had a special toy I wanted and I didn't have. So I broke his toy. I broke it because I was so jealous of him. And my parents heard what I had done. The next day, my father comes home from work with that toy. He walks over to me and he says, here, I know you wanted this. And he walks away. Now, I know I could have kept it and he wouldn't have said a word to me. But I knew my head would explode if I did that. And so I went over to the neighbor's house and I said, here, I'm sorry. I'm replacing your toy. And then I went home. And that's the kind of man he was. He didn't scream, yell, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? He was that quiet, really powerful person. And all my mother had to do was say to me, I'm telling your father when he comes home today. And I'd say, oh, no, please. What do you want me to do? But it was a loving family, and I had to grow up, become a doctor, and realize other people didn't experience what I did as a child, and that I had to reparent them. And maybe the concluding comment would be this. A suicidal teenager was coming to see me, and I said, you know, and I was helping her and showing her I loved her. And I didn't have to like what she was doing, but I loved her. And she said to me one day, you're my CD. I said, what are you talking about? I'm a CD. You're my chosen dad. And that's what I've done since, and I would suggest all of you do that. You see somebody troubled, you see a group of kids, say, hey, you need a mama or a papa, I'll be your CM or your CD. And what a difference it makes to them to know somebody loves them.
First of all, I want to say, Dr. Siegel, I don't know anyone that has as many extraordinary stories to share. And then you have outstanding stories about the extraordinary stories. we could literally go on for another hour or so because you just got, you're such a bottomless well of information. I want to acknowledge in the chat room once again the people that have come back. We appreciate that because I love the people in the chat room. People I've never seen before. Once again, CoolCat65, hope you come back. And now Psychic Cocktail Hour. Never saw you before in the chat room. And you show up as we're talking about psychics. So that's pretty amazing. So folks, do go to JoyceBarryandFriends.com. Click on follow right under my picture on the bottom of the homepage. We also want you to check out Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. Dr. Siegel, why don't you share a little bit about what they have to look forward to going to your website?
Yeah, we've got, not only my schedule, I'm not traveling as much as I used to, but there are many articles that I've written, immune competent personality, you know, what helps you stay healthy. I mean, they're just loads of things. And they can communicate with me through the contact us. I'm the us. you know, people are always amazed that I don't have 10 people working for me in an office. But I care about people, so I answer the phone and I answer the emails. And, you know, there's a lot to review there, and I mean that. Many articles that can help you with healing, emotional, physical, and everything else.
That would be Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. Dr. Siegel is also on Facebook. His books are extraordinary. Never met a Bernie Siegel book I didn't like. Today we kind of focused on peace, love, and healing. I think of those words. Perfect time to use them in the middle of Easter week, in the middle of Passover week. Peace, love, and healing. We talked about humor, mind-body connection, self-healing. There's no end to the information from this extraordinary surgeon and wonderful, wonderful healer. So,
and I may add,
say,
my CDs and books are available through the website. I wasn't talking about that, but they can all be ordered there too.
And you want to do that as well. As you can see, we're actually going over a little bit today because it's just so amazing to hear Dr. Siegel's wise words. That's healing in and of themselves. So I'll give you a chance, Dr. Siegel, because, again, Spirit tells me that you have one more thing to share before I close out the show.
Well, as a young woman said, when you live in your heart, magic happens. And she didn't die, put that note on her refrigerator, and it happened. I mean, she recovered. So I'd say to everybody, live in your heart and see life as a school. We're here to live and learn. As God said, because I'm on the board of directors of heaven, and I said, why didn't you make a perfect world? And God said, a perfect world is not creation. It's a magic trick. You're all here to live and learn. So keep going to school.
And one of your quotes that I like, don't climb the ladder of success only to find it is leaning. What?
When you get to the top, you'll find it's leaning against the wrong wall.
Against the wrong wall. And I could see a whole show about that, about being able to let go and moving on. So that was a very impactful quote. Don't climb the ladder of success only to find it's leaning against the wrong wall. I love quotes, and I find them turning up a lot in your books. So in closing, again, I want to say thank you. I want to have you more often because there's just so much you have to share. And my special prayer for all of you is make this the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make it the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And I know Dr. Siegel has a book with miracles in the title as well. Peace, Love, and Miracles?
No, it's called, well, miracles are in a lot of titles, but this book is called A Book of Miracles.
A Book of Miracles, yes. And actually, we did a show on that not too long ago, and it's still in our archives, correct, A Book of Miracles. And that show, I'll give you folks the date because it is in our archives. If you go to June 27, 2013, A Book of Miracles, that one, you'll see that show in the archives, another extraordinary Dr. Siegel show. So I want to close on the note of miracles. I believe they're all around us. I believe they surround us. They're all around you, and they are there for you if only you believe in them and you are open to receiving them. Celebrate those miracles. Celebrate your life. Celebrate your opportunities and wonderful people that you have in your world, just like Dr. Siegel, where I feel very blessed that he's blessing our show today. Here is our celebration song.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I didn't know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.
Wherever you go, however you go, for energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.